Okay, here we go.
Okay. Tell you what. I'm going to start the pledge, and I'm going to do it singularly. Just listen along, please. We pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now a moment of silence for our first responders and for the country as a whole. Thank you. Now, official roll call, please.
And just for the record, it's Monday, April 6, 2020, approximately 6:06 p.m. Roll call, Director Sanderson.
Here, hi.
Director Morris.
Here.
Director Wargo.
Here.
Director Israel.
Here.
And Director Link.
Here.
And then Calvin, your General Manager Calvin Louie.
Here.
And Steve Anderson with Best Best and Krieger.
Present.
All right, thank you.
Okay. First thing I guess we'll do is the Finance and Audit Committee report. Oh, wait a minute. I'm reading the wrong paper here. Let me get to the agenda here. Approval of Finance and Audit Committee meeting minutes and warrants for February and the general board meeting. Do I need a motion to approve, please?
No, excuse me, Director Link, but that shouldn't be on tonight's agenda.
Okay, so I don't have anything. Go ahead.
You should have the new agenda in your email, but I can re-email it to you if you like.
Okay, the only thing that I received, because I was just on there, was the added resolution for tonight. It's the only thing I received.
Okay, give me just a second.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. It should also be on the district's website for anybody that has internet access and would like to pull up the packet, but I'll email it to you right now. But we have new business, discussion action, COVID-19 discussion and approval. Stand by, I'll email it to you right now. Would you like the board vice chair to start it while I try to get this email to you, Director Link?
Sure, that's fine.
Okay, so new business, discussion and action of COVID-19 event, discussion and approval. Board to discuss the following: adoption of an emergency declaration, B, approval of COVID-19 event plan. Other than Robert, did everybody get a copy of that?
Well, I got a copy of that particular item, the resolution 404-2020.
That's the second resolution.
Yeah, it's the second one. The first one is resolution number 03. Huh?
Sorry, go ahead.
The resolution we're going to be looking at right now is resolution number 03-2020.
Mr. President, Ms. Vice President, this is Steve. Just let me make sure we have it straight for the record. The first thing listed on the agenda is the emergency declaration, and that just so happens to be the one that Ellie sent you late today. So actually, if you wanted to follow the agenda, the first resolution you would consider is the emergency declaration. It's a couple pages long that Ellie sent you at, I don't know what time, 4:30 or 5 o'clock today. Would that be okay?
Yeah. Yes. I read that one. Has anybody else read it?
Yes.
Nope.
Yes.
Okay, Martin.
You can paraphrase.
Martin?
Sir.
It, basically what it does is it covers the following all the state, county, federal, local guidelines for the district to declare a national an emergency.
Okay.
Thank you. It's gone over. I've gone over it, and Steve has gone over it, and it's basically it's us following in line with the rest of the governmental agencies in the area.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Mr. President, just so it's clear for the record, this actual declaration, the exact words of it, were sent over by the County of Riverside, and they asked all local water agencies and other districts in the county to adopt this exact wording. We just had to fill in a couple blanks in there.
Okay. I need a motion to approve.
Well, before we do that, I had a couple questions on this. On the second page, Steve, where it's got the be it resolved and the first it is further resolved on those two. So the one I have in question is, be it resolved that the Board of the Directors of the District hereby proclaims the existence of a local emergency and directs the district staff to take the necessary steps for the protection of life, health, and safety. That one with the next one, does that still mean that we're still kind of like taking direction from the board, or does that mean that we're giving all direction to Calvin in the emergency?
Yeah, generally speaking, you're giving direction to Calvin to carry forward the measures necessary on sort of a day-to-day basis to deal with the emergency. But the county wanted to make sure that the board itself adopted the emergency, and basically, just to be honest, the most important reason the county is doing this is because at some point in the future, the county and to some extent Cabazon Water District will probably be eligible for a reimbursement by FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. But in order to be eligible for that kind of reimbursement for time spent on COVID matters, you have to go through all this red tape, and this is the first of several pieces of red tape, is the declaration of the emergency to make Cabazon Water District eligible to receive that FEMA reimbursement in the future. But yes, you're correct, Director Wargo, that you are delegating authority to Calvin to handle the day-to-day.
Thank you.
Did that answer your questions, Director Wargo?
Yeah, he's still under the direction of the board, right? From the next
paragraph.
Of course, there.
Yeah. Well, he's under the direction of the board, but obviously you guys only meet every so often, and he has day-to-day stuff to do, so.
Okay.
There's no usurpation of power to him. Okay.
Does that put us under the, and I don't know if it was in this resolution, the last one. So from this we can gain reimbursement from FEMA for what types of activities?
Yeah, well, first of all, let me pull that up on my email, exactly which activities are eligible. But it's almost like the reverse of that. What I mean by that is, if you don't do this resolution and all this other red tape, then you will be disqualified from even potentially being able to get FEMA reimbursement. Does that make sense? So there's no guarantee of FEMA reimbursement, but if you don't take the four or five steps, then you absolutely will get nothing from them for certain, if that makes sense. But the areas are, there's a list of them, and I don't know. Give me a second, and I can pull that up on my email while I'm sitting here. But effectively, it's activities undertaken in direct response to the COVID crisis that fall into certain categories. Let me pull up the categories while we're sitting here.
Thank you, Steve.
This is Martin. I really don't need that. I don't know if anybody else does.
No, it's all right. Sarah asked a question, and
okay,
she...
That's
she
fine. All right.
Well, it's the cost of staffing, supplies, and equipment related to preparation, prevention, and forward that information to the district's finance department, and initial damage estimates, category B. Those are what you're talking about, that you're going to give us?
Okay, let me read some of the eligible expenses to you. So, and I know these are vaguely written, but this is what Congress has authorized FEMA to pay for. Management, control, and reduction of immediate threats to public health and safety. So if the district has an emergency operations center and has costs associated with that, that's eligible for reimbursement. Training specific to the declared event. Disinfection of eligible public facilities, technical assistance to local governments on emergency management and control of immediate threats to public health and safety, medical sheltering, emergency medical care. There's a couple more that relate. Oh, purchase and distribution of food, water, medicine, and other consumable supplies. Including personal protective equipment and the like, communications of general health and safety and their information to the public, and force account overtime costs that you absorb as a result of this, and there's a couple of other things. And what's important is that FEMA, there's basically all these different buckets that are potentially reimbursable for districts' extra costs, but FEMA only covers like sort of this one bucket. It doesn't cover other buckets. The federal government and Congress, with all this legislation they're passing, is appropriating money to cover other buckets, but this bucket is just the FEMA bucket, and it's just the things that I just read to you. So not sure if you have any more questions, but to the extent it's not in this bucket, we're hopeful it'll make it into the next bucket, if that makes sense. So just as an example, this isn't going to be that great for you, but a couple of weeks ago, the federal government passed the Families First Act related to coronavirus response that provided for reimbursement of certain amount of staff time or vacation, that kind of thing. Unfortunately, in that legislation, local governments, public agencies are not eligible to receive that benefit. But right now, there are various lobbyists, including folks from my firm, who we have an office in Washington, D.C., that are pursuing cleanup legislation to make local governments eligible in that category as well. So maybe we could get some benefit from sick time and the like that you're paying out to your employees. And so this is the first bucket of hopefully several buckets that'll become available for the district to help you reimburse your costs.
Okay, and we only get those.
But it's important to understand that it's kind of. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just saying we only get that if we declare an emergency, right?
Right. It becomes a lot more difficult if you don't declare an emergency. There is an argument that maybe the county of Riverside's emergency is enough to cover you. But in this case, the county said, no, we're not sure if it is, so we want each of you to adopt your own resolution. And so we're complying with what the county has requested.
It's a CYA,
well,
then.
Well, it's sort of CYA, but what happens is, and I have a couple of lawyers in my office that do a lot of FEMA work, is the way that FEMA does it is sort of odd, but what they do is they'll dole out money in the coming months. But then 6 months from now, they actually send their auditors over to the county, and they'll run through all the districts in the county, and they'll start checking all the individual things that they've paid for. And so it's not uncommon in some circumstances for FEMA to give reimbursement 2 or 3 months after an emergency, and then a year from now they'll come back and say, hey, wait a minute, we shouldn't have paid you that $20,000 for this, that, and the other, so Cabazon, give us our money back. And so in order to do our best to avoid that kind of thing and the terrible auditors that will come around here and later in the year, we have to have all this paperwork done correctly. And this is part
okay.
of it.
Okay. All righty. Any more questions?
I don't have
okay,
any.
Okay, I need a... All right. If there's no more questions, I need a motion.
I move that we approve Resolution 04-2020.
I second
that.
Mark. Okay. It doesn't matter.
Mr. President, I'm sorry to interrupt, but whoever moves for a motion has to identify themselves, and then every vote the board takes on a telephone conference, you have to do it by roll call vote, just so you know. Thank you.
Oh, not a problem. Thank you.
Okay. Maxine Israel, I make the motion that we approve the resolution number 04-2020.
I, Diana Morris, second that motion.
Okay, so I have a motion made by Director Israel to approve resolution number 04-2020, the resolution of the Board of Directors of the Cabazon Water District proclaiming a local emergency. Second by Director Morris. Director Sanderson?
Martin Sanderson, aye.
Director Morris?
Aye.
Director Wargo?
Aye.
Director Israel?
Aye.
And Director Link?
Aye. And the next item would be Resolution 03-2020. Mr. Anderson, could you please review that, what this one's about, please?
Sure. So this is a corollary to what we just did. In order to get reimbursement from FEMA and also to comply with any federal grant that the district might get in the future, not just for FEMA, but any federal monies basically you ever get that are free, you have to abide by the federal procurement guidelines. And you actually have to adopt those and tell the feds that you are complying with what they want. And so... We've provided you a resolution along with an attachment, which are the federal guidelines, which relate to if you're going to go out and procure some kind of professional or other services or engage in a public works contract where you either want to be reimbursed by FEMA or and you think it's related enough to COVID to qualify in that category, or you... want to get some federal money in the future for something and want to comply with their requirements, you need to adopt these guidelines and these protocols for how you procure services from third-party contractors. And so that's what we've attached to the resolution. And it's important to note that you don't need to use these procurement guidelines for everything the district does. It's only in those sort of narrow, rare circumstances when you hope or want to get federally reimbursed through a grant or something. So it's not going to apply very much. Ordinarily, county water districts have pretty wide-ranging authority to procure services under state law in a sort of flexible, very flexible manner. And this is putting some constraints on it, but again, it's only for situations where you hope to get reimbursed by the feds. And frankly, so far, with respect to the COVID, I've talked to your staff a little bit. We're not thinking at this point that there's probably much chance we're going to go out to a bid on it, you know, anything that's going to qualify in the first bucket, this FEMA bucket, because we can't really identify anything that is directly related to emergency management. In other words, you can't go build a new tank and say, oh, FEMA, we only did that because we had this COVID emergency. There's not really a nexus to do that. And so even though it's sort of unlikely that we're going to go out to bid during the COVID emergency on anything that would qualify for FEMA reimbursement, we figured out of an abundance of caution, you should adopt these guidelines so we're compliant, just in case it happens. And then you'll also have them on the books in case you have a grant, federal grant program you want to utilize in the future.
Okay, any questions about that one? If there's no questions, I need a motion to approve Resolution 03-2020.
This is Martin Sanderson.
Next is Israel. Go ahead, Martin.
This is Martin Sanderson. I move that we approve Resolution number 03-2020.
Maxine Israel, second it.
So I have a motion made by Director Sanderson to approve Resolution number 03-2020, a resolution of the Cabazon Water District adopting the federal emergency and federal grant procurement procedures. Again, made by Director Sanderson, second by Director Israel. Director Sanderson?
Aye.
Director Morris?
Aye.
Director Wargo?
Aye.
Director Israel?
Aye.
And Director Link?
Okay.
I'm sorry, that was an aye?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay. The next item I see here is approval of COVID-19 events plans. I presume that's closure of the lobby and transaction window to the public. And other proposed COVID-19 events plans to be reviewed by the district or the board. Is there anything special about that, or is that we don't really have to vote on that, but do we?
This is Martin Sanderson. Can I make a suggestion to Calvin or anybody in the office?
Go ahead.
That they put a sign that says the drop box for payment is around the corner on the left. On the right, I'm sorry. It's just a suggestion. It doesn't have to be part of the whatchamacallit.
Noted.
That has already been done. If you go to the front, this is Calvin. Calvin, if you go go to the front entrance, it's this drop box and it's got arrows, and every 2 feet,
thank you,
it's
Calvin.
Got an arrow.
Thanks. Yeah, I didn't notice it the other day. So.
Yeah, they just did it today, this morning.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Calvin. I made a payment today. Anyhow, thanks, Calvin.
So well, I do have a comment on that. Go ahead, Rob.
No, it's all right. Go ahead.
All right. With the lobby being closed, so we can't accept cash for payment, right? Like they can't put cash into the Dropbox.
In the bill, this is Calvin again. In the bill, it's specific. We had a flyer inserted in the monthly water bill, and it specifically states that you cannot drop cash in the payment box.
Wouldn't it be just as dangerous for them to drop a check?
They drop check on a regular basis in the Dropbox.
Yeah, but if they drop a check, that's still paper like money.
The thing with the cash is when somebody hands you cash, there has to be a reconciliation or recognition of it. Because you can drop the cash in there and somebody say, I put cash in there, and there's no proof that they did. Whereas a check or a money order is direct, the payment is directed to the district. That's the primary reason for the cash, no cash in the drop box.
No, I understand that. There's a lot of, even my pharmacist is not accepting cash. It's cards only and by the phone. And the reason for that is because it can be transmitted. If somebody puts a check through, it can be transmitted as well.
This is Calvin. We have all our Ellen or whoever handles the money or the papers. They're wearing nitrile gloves.
Okay. Thank you.
Do you have proper PPE protocols set up for this, I presume?
That's correct.
Okay. And as far as closing the lobby and stuff, I don't think there needs to be approval because these are mandates by the county health department, so it doesn't matter as far as that goes. Am I correct, Steve?
Yep.
Okay. So I think we should move on to adoption or C, adoption of FEMA-approved contracting policies. I think that was encompassed by the resolutions, was it not?
Yep, you already did it. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So now we're on to old business. And right at this moment, there is no old business or public comment. So now, what are we going to do about last month's board meeting and those items? Are we going to table them? Are those going to be done in the next – are we going to teleconference the next board meeting?
This is Ellie. I think the most appropriate action would be to just carry it over for discussion and adoption during our April – I think it's 21st, April 21st
yes.
board meeting.
21st. Is the 21st.
Okay.
And most likely we'll be doing a teleconference meeting just like this.
Okay.
One right. other question for the board. Did we want to waive interest and penalty charges, and we can't disconnect customers, but do we want to provide them shut off warning notices or any kind of notice showing that their account is delinquent, and if they can make a payment, they should? Or it,
okay,
I mean, it
I
sounds
have,
it sounds like
well,
we will just be waiving everything, but we just want to get some board input in case you guys thought differently.
Okay, I have a question for Steve. My question is this. Can we I'm sure we can waive them because of the emergency declaration, but can we require the people that are late because of employment being laid off or sent home that they send us a, give us a letter or a copy of their layoff notice to so we don't have people just saying, well, I didn't want to pay my bill? Does that make sense?
Yeah. No. Frankly, what you can't do is cut people off. There's no requirement from the governor that you waive their payments. In other words, just because someone can't pay this month or next month doesn't mean they don't still owe you that money. So you can enter into a payment arrangement or something like that, and they get that whether they were laid off or they weren't laid off. And so that's why – you know, you just have to trust people to make the payments when they're due, if they're capable of doing it. But even if someone did not produce for you a layoff notice and maybe they still have their job, you still can't cut them off because the governor's
well,
order applies to everybody.
I'm not saying cut them off, but for the people that are furloughed because of the virus and the quarantine, they're different than people that have SSI and other forms of income, they would still be required to pay the interest and penalties because they still have that income coming in, is where I'm coming from.
Well, I think if you were going to waive it, you'd have to waive it for everybody for this time during this COVID emergency, if we were talking
yeah.
about waiving the penalties and interest. Because you don't know if there's, like, some mom out there and the you know, she's getting child support and her child support person got laid off. You know, like, there's...
Oh, point taken.
Say
point.
One, yeah, we, yeah.
Point taken. Very good one. Well, we can't make a motion, but I think as a general, I think that would have to be another special meeting motion, wouldn't it? To waive interest and penalties during this time? Or can we use that as a... So we would need a special meeting for that, wouldn't we?
It would be cleaner if you did that, if you were going to waive. But I agree with Director Wargo that you can't just pick out certain people that you want to waive for and certain ones you don't. You could. There are some districts that just waive penalties and late charges for a class of customers, like all residential customers, but not commercial. But you can't pick and choose among the classes and say, you know, I want these guys to get waived, but these other guys not. You can't do that.
Okay. So then, but we're going to need a special meeting to do that, though.
Or you could just leave the... Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, are interests going to be charged before the next board meeting?
The next...
Before April 21st?
If the office were to charge interest and penalties, it's typically on the 21st. So it would be the day, the morning of the board meeting.
Yeah, I hate to say this, folks, but most other districts and the governor is kind of elbowing folks not to charge interest and penalties. So you could read the governor's order to kind of prohibit that anyway. His most recent order, he keeps issuing them once every couple of days. He's got a new order. So I would suggest to you that you have authority right now just to nod your head at staff and say, yeah, we don't want you to charge penalties and interest and late fees, because the governor has already sort of given that authority and leaned on you. So if you just kind of give a head nod or direction to your staff, I'm sure they'll comply with that.
All right, Ellie. This is as general manager managed, or not general manager, as chairman of the board, I'm recommending the district waive all penalties and fees until the governor acknowledges this emergency is over on all customers, residential customers.
This is Diana. What about the businesses that are being forced to be closed?
I think it should be both, to be honest with you, because we don't have that many businesses in the district, and a lot of them have had to curtail everything. There's only a couple of restaurants in town that have had to actually shut down, I think, isn't there?
Chairman Link, this is Calvin.
Go ahead.
I've already had Desert Hills, their operations manager, send me an email requesting a discount or having their water bill forgiven, and I replied back to him that he would have to petition the board, and management would also recommend that if the board waived their water bill or reduced their water bill, then they would have to do it for other businesses. And he has not replied or responded back with his intention.
Mr. President, can I make a statement about that?
Sure.
So just so the board is aware, even though we do have a special contract with Desert Hills, there's a provision of the California Constitution that we've talked about before that's called Proposition 218 that makes it illegal and unconstitutional for the board to waive or reduce the bills for any particular customer, because that necessarily means that the rest of your customers are subsidizing the one you gave a discount or a freebie to, and that's not only illegal, it's unconstitutional. So the answer, Calvin, from my perspective, is no. You got to tell Desert Hills that's against our state constitution. That's not allowed.
There you go, Calvin.
Okay, if he replies, then I will advise him of that.
Yep,
Okay. Or you can send them to me if you want, and I'll let them know. Sorry about it. I can give them the sorry, sir, email.
Can you draft an email to that extent? Or is
well,
that
possible? I'll wait for him to reply to see if he's desired
okay.
to be put on the agenda.
Okay. Not a problem. Okay. Well, was that suffice to say, or what more would we need to get that head nod, per se?
It sounds to me that, this is Ellie, it sounds to me that the majority of the board was head nodding, that we just hold off on interest and penalty charges and any, like, tagging fees, any kind of real fees or charges for now. And it sounded like for everybody, we're not going to just pick one class of customers or anything. Is that more or less the gist of it? Most of the board members, if not all, were kind of head nodding towards that direction?
This is Mark.
Yes.
What about the businesses as far as interest and penalties? The same?
It sounded like it was the same to me. Is that correct? If anybody disagrees, please state so now.
Okay. It sounds like that's a given, then.
And Mr. President, this is Steve again. Just to clean up the record, what I would suggest is that at your next board meeting, we'll bring forward a resolution to put that in writing, and we'll backdate it or have it effective as of whatever date you want it to be effective, so that it's, you know,
tomorrow.
Written down.
Okay, that sounds fair. Okay. I don't see anything else on the agenda at this point in time. Does anybody else have anything to add?
This is Martin. I want to wish Diana well.
Thank you, Martin. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
We all feel the same way.
Yeah, I think so.
Thank you.
My dogs say that too. Hang in there, darling. You know, hang in
Thank
there.
You. This is Maxine okay. Israel. I make the motion to adjourn.
I second the motion. This is Martin.
Hold on. I'm sorry. Steve, this is more of a question for you. On the agenda, there was a C, adoption of FEMA-approved contracting policies. Was that slightly separate than Resolution 03-2020?
No, because that's all within the context of that resolution, I believe, right?
Yeah, I had asked that.
Okay, I just wanted to confirm. Thank you.
Yeah.
So we had a motion to adjourn made by, I'm sorry, was it Director Israel and second by Director Sanderson, or did I get that mixed up?
That's
no, you've got
no, that's
more.
Right.
Okay. Have a motion to adjourn at approximately 6:44 p.m. made by Director Israel, second by Director Sanderson. Director Sanderson?
Aye.
Director Morris?
Aye.
Director Wargo?
Aye.
Director Israel?
Aye.
And Director Link?
Aye. Okay, Ellie, I have a question for you. Are you at the office?
I am not. I am home right now, but I will be at the office first thing tomorrow morning.
Okay. When will these documents be available for me to sign?
If they can be available either tomorrow morning or if it's more convenient for you, if you have the capabilities, you could sign from home, scan the page to me, and I'll take care of the rest.
Not a problem, then.
Just let me know what's most convenient for you.
Well, what I'll do is I'll print them up. I'll print up the signature page, sign it, and then I'll have it here, and if there's somebody at the office tomorrow, they can swing by and pick it up.
Okay.
That sounds good.
All right.
Or you can drop or you can drop it off in the payment box.
Yeah, okay. I'll do that.
Got arrows.
What's
in
that?
Directions. That's cool. No, that's cool.
That's okay. Thank you, Mr. Anderson, for your time.
Yes.
Thank you all. Take care, everybody. I hope everybody feels good. Stay safe.
Hang in there, Steve.
All right, thank you,
everybody.
Hey, Ellie.
All right.
Everybody else.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.